Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome everybody to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, and as always, I'm joined by Rob Basileri at Vegas Trump Guy. Rob, how are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there, brother. I'm hanging in there, and we are doing the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting, trying to get it on Instagram, but Instagram is being difficult today. It's so sucky.
Oh my God, man! Technology is great when it actually works, but, right? You know, that's half the fight, you know, is getting the shit to work. So,
well, and for my fans on Instagram, all 10 of you, I kid, I'm going to exit out of this now and try to get it back onto YouTube. So look for BOCE Comedy on YouTube and you can find it there, or BOCE Comedy on Facebook.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and let's dive in and talk about the week that was in pro wrestling. And let's start with the latest stuff from tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. And we're actually going to, there we go. We're going to put this graphic up. So Rob, I don't know if you want to kind of lead this with what stood out to you from Raw tonight. Obviously,
what stood out from Raw? Stood out? The 17 unseen challenges Dominic Mysterio because he ran his damn stupid mouth again and lost his Intercontinental strap to John Cena.
Yeah. And with that, John Cena becomes a Grand Slam champion in WWE, which is really interesting that it happened now of all times in his last show in Boston. So, you know, there was some sentimentality there, and it makes sense to some extent. Would I have preferred Cena to have put over Dom, you know, in this home stretch? I would have, just because he would have more to gain, but you know, I see why they did it. You can easily market that, and yeah, let's be real. Now it does add some suspense to that final match, and will that person be able to take the title from John Cena, or will he retire with that title?
Bingo. Now we have some skin in the game, and it's ironic who won tonight. Sheamus beat Shinsuke Nakamura, and Sheamus has never won that belt.
Yep.
He's been chasing the IC strap for a very long time. Now, would I like to see a final match between Sheamus and him? No. No, there's no suspense there. There's no suspense there.
Absolutely not.
We have to have a surprise. Remember on SmackDown, Nick Aldis went, oh, look at this. I'm not going to tell you.
We'll get there. We'll get to SmackDown. Don't worry. We'll definitely get to SmackDown. So, So here's the graphic from, that we obtained right after the match there, John Cena, but also that was not the only title change that happened on Raw tonight. As we have new women's tag team champions, as Asuka and Kairi Sane defeat Charlotte and Alexa Bliss.
This was a good match, excellently wrestled. They let Kairi Sane get the pin over on Charlotte, which was nice. They look good in the ring. I don't necessarily feel Asuka's got ring rust or her age is showing per se. she was going to tap out to the figure eight. However, we have interference from Nia Jax and Lash Legend. Yes. And what are we doing here? By the way, Monday Night Raw was an example that the brand divide is gone. These are all people from the other side. Okay. Yeah. We had Logan Paul join the Vision tonight. He is blue as hell. We had Cody Rhodes come out at the end to try and save Fragile Phil, who, by the way, they got to do something with his makeup. He looks more and more decrepit every time he comes in that ring. He does. He looks old. He looks old. He looks like if you were to tell me he's on his last 3 years, I would have said, all right, I believe you. I believe you. He's got the scraggly gray beard, the missing teeth, the wrinkles galore. His wife, by the way, looks the same. His wife is not aged. I don't know what they fucking feed her for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They put embalming fluid with every goddamn meal. But AJ Lee looks like they like defrost her every 5 years when they need to make him look good.
Dude, yeah, it's pretty crazy the stark contrast between the two, man. Yeah, it's very interesting the booking decisions that they're making as they're steering this this John Cena tournament that they're building. Anything else that you wanted to talk about from Raw?
Well, no, and again, you have what do you have in the match? Damian Priest versus Rusev. And Priest gets flattened.
Yeah.
He looks squishy now. Rusev is still not over for the victory. And honestly, I thought you were going to see an interference from Aleister Black. So by doing it this way with a clean pin, you know, it makes Damian Priest look less relevant, makes Rusev look less relevant. If you wanted to have an interference type scenario with Aleister Black, then, you know, you've got Rusev getting annoyed. You could have done a little bit more with that and would have taken but another couple of minutes. So I don't know what their goal was. I don't know what the goal was with that. It's whatever.
But I
was going to say one thing. No Judgment Day.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean it's pretty telling, man. You know, I thought for sure that they would possibly have this be the instance where, you know, Finn costs Dom the match, and you know you could easily, you know, spiral that out from here. So pretty interesting choice to not do it. Obviously, they wanted to give John Cena the clean win. After the win, of course, there was the photo of John Cena and Rey Mysterio, you know, hugging each other in the back. So they were obviously loving that. So good shit. Yeah, man, it's a lot of people were happy to see Dom get his ass kicked tonight by John Cena. A lot of people like me were happy to see the women's tag team titles change hands. But over on SmackDown, let's talk about another title change that made a lot of people happy. And not dissing on Julia, but earlier in the week, Chelsea Green was on NXT and she got creamed. quote right there, man. I've never been creamed
before.
But dude, that's crazy.
Oh, and, my God.
And then
Matt Cardona, forward. You have an assignment.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no shit. Then fast forward to Friday, and Chelsea Green wins the WWE United States Championship. Pretty cool, man. I think Chelsea Green has really carved out a very solid niche for herself as a comedy act that people genuinely enjoy whatever she's doing. She's somebody that commands the attention anytime that she's on TV, and yeah, this is how they should be positioning her on the show, is as a secondary champion.
Here's my thing. Do you remember a certain match between one Jeff Hardy and Sting? And Jeff Hardy is just high out of his mind, and Sting gets him in the surprise roll-up, 1, 2, 3. Somebody yells at Sting as he walks up the ramp, "This is bullshit," and Sting goes, "Yeah, I know." This was a squash of squash matches, squash where you add a little bit of the cream and then you make it look like orange juice and it's a pumpkin squash soup and you serve it before your turkey on Thanksgiving. And it's savory and sweet at the same time. And sometimes you'll put some pumpkin, you know, nuts on there to add a little bit of extra crunch to it. That's how much squash this was. Yes, there was a little bit of run-in again, the same old bullshit. But you seem to be smiling like a Cheshire cat. You know something more as to how Julia, which everyone was putting up there with Stephanie Vicaire, and she has the same verbal command on the mic as Stephanie Vicaire. Maybe not quite as good, but you gave her a valet. So you obviously thought she was important. Now?
Yeah, man. It's crazy. The there are reports that and the precedent has been set, unfortunately, that if you complain about your booking online after the fact or besmirch the company, as we saw with Ridge Holland, and we'll talk about Ridge here in a bit. They let him out of his contract because he had some certain things to say. And again, we'll talk about that later, but there are people that are under the assumption that this business relationship between Julia and WWE or TKO specifically may actually already be coming to an end. It remains to be seen, of course, but yeah, there's definitely some talk online about that.
CEO. She'll be on AEW in 3 months.
So I do have to mention she was in a tag team for quite a few years in Stardom with, of all people, Tekla. So yeah, Tekla, Julia. Man. Imagine that is a duo.
Does she own her name?
Yes.
It's just Julia. So man, I remember when Xbox came over and joined WWF, and he basically got in the ring and goes, "Man, you guys are so far up Bischoff's ass, you can't see the light." I'm paraphrasing. These days, everyone's touchy-feely about mentioning the other brand, but if she went over to AEW and said, "Fuck WWE," now you have something. Now you have something. Her valet was whatever, but if you package her right, and then you could call her the answer to Stephanie Vicaire that Tony Khan seemingly lost.
Yeah.
And
now obviously this could very well, be people working themselves into a shoot as well. As we've seen, and again, there's been historical precedence with this as well. We were just talking about SmackDown, and there was the fallout of Drew McIntyre and Nick Aldis getting into it after SmackDown this week. And there were a lot of F-bombs being dropped. So you can see WWE trying to change some things and adopting some unconventional booking styles compared to what they're used to throwing into the mix. But that all remains to be seen, man. Ilya Dragunov and Johnny Gargano, dude, this match was fucking awesome. This match was fucking great. Quite frankly, the Johnny Gargano of maybe a decade ago resurfaced here. And that's not meant as a slam on Gargano, but, he and Ilya kicked it up to another gear, man. Ilya Dragunov, it seems to be that if you're going to tune in to, one, maybe two segments of SmackDown at minimum per week, you got to watch the Ilya Open Challenge because it's going to be a banger. Dare I say the best match on WWE programming this week.
So. I liked it, but I was distracted by Tommaso Ciampa. To me, the focus was not as much that is, we know where this is going. We're building up the powder keg for Ciampa. We're taking and dangling the carrot right in front of him. And it's going to be explosive, but where do you put that powder keg? In which direction? Do you break up his tag team with Johnny Gargano? Because Johnny Gargano could go on alone with his wife and, you know, have the, yeah, you know, the poison pixie in his corner. Or do you put Tommaso Ciampa out there as a, you know, yeah, I mean, what do you do? What do you do with these guys? Because you're not, there's too many tag teams floating around on SmackDown. And yeah, the fact that they're not bouncing from one brand to the other shows how valuable they are right now. Right now, they're being used as filler. They're being used as enhancement talent. Same, by the way, as the Street Profits. Same, by the way, as the Motor City Machine Guns. They don't matter. I want them to matter. They matter. They have mattered in the past or in other promotions. Well, just say in the past. They've mattered in the past.
It's really unfortunate that WWE, seemingly, they don't know how to book tag teams anymore. It's become a lost art. It's something that, you know, they really need to find their ground with, because yeah, there is a definite market for tag team wrestling, and there always will be.
In my lifetime, it's a missed opportunity. Wrestling, and I will horribly say, for me, Attitude Era to now, I'm sure that people go way further back than that, and I've watched wrestling back then, but not as ardently as I have since Attitude Era. You've had two ages of tag team wrestling, Attitude Era, and you had New Age Outlaws, you had Edge and Christian, you had the Dudleys, and you had the Hardy Boys. Those are your four tag teams. They were solid tag teams. And because it was D-Generation X, you could even take and rotate one of the guys out and put in X-Pac. Because if I'm not mistaken, it was X-Pac and Road Dogg for at least once or twice. You had depth of tag teams. Great. Now you go spin the clock forward and you had the New Day. You had the Usos, penitentiary-style Usos, not when they first came out. Yep. Uso Penitentiary, and you had the Shield. And and by the way, the 3-on-3 between the Shield and the Usos, I mean, the Shield and New Day, that 3-on-3 match was stupid.
Bro, you know, there's one group that you're kind of forgetting, Wyatt family too.
The Wyatt family, here's the thing with them.
That they were in that whole mix.
They were, but it still focused on Bray. Bray was the center versus, because what did they call them? You called them the Bludgeon Brothers. They didn't know how to market those two guys. They added Daniel Bryan to the mix, and it was flat. You added Braun Strowman. That wasn't good enough. Even when it did work, they didn't let it breathe. That's the sin of WWE. They had times where you could have given the Shield everything when I did forget one that I will say was a tag team, Evolution. But again, they never pulled the trigger and gave them everything. They did it for the women. They gave them everything. But if you would have gave the Shield one of each in singles belt, American, Intercontinental, World Heavyweight Championship, WWE, Universal, Gold, blah, 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 and the tag belts. And remember, the New Day, all three of them were tag champs. They only had two belts, but all three of them were claimed as king. So
with the Freebird rule, yeah.
Right. If you would have done that with the freaking Shield at their height, instead of having Seth Rollins crack him in the back with a chair, when by all rights, he would have won anyway. If you let that storyline progress as it should have, he's going to walk away with a lot of gold no matter what he did. That's why I never liked that storyline. But that's the point. You had golden ages. Now you don't. You have a lot of guys who could be. You've done TLC matches, and then they've had spots. I mean, the solo cup shooting out of the ground was cool, but there's nothing. There's something missing.
Yeah, yeah, there definitely is, man. You know, and the SmackDown, was there anything else that really stood out to you at all in this show? I mean, you know, obviously there's the stuff with Charlotte and, you know, that's...
Nia Jax. Oh, and I screamed at you. And you said, I don't get it.
I was waiting for you to throw it out, man. Come on.
I'm that bitch. Yes. Yes. Oh, God. Oh. She said it. She said it. She fucking said it. Jade Cargill is completely Jade Cargill from AEW now. There's nothing left. She could come out in a Marvel costume every week. She's a bitch. She just went over and just I'll flatten your freaking skull. I love that. Get out of my way. Awesome. It is freaking great. B, whatever the hell her name is, she's going to get her ass kicked.
B Fab, yeah.
B, nothing. She's going to get her ass kicked. Now, here's the thing. I've got one problem, but it can be fixed.
Yep.
She needs to kick the shit out of Nia Jax.
Yes.
She has to she get a statement. She needs to get that receipt. You yep. got to. Do not pull that shit that they pulled with Mr. Tsunami there. Bronson Reed and go, oh, he tsunamied me so many times I want him on my team. No. Nia Jax needs to get her ass beat down. I do not want this woman just being a stale garden variety heel. We have to go, look, I tried to be nice. I got my ass kicked and thrown into a windshield. I tried to be nice and I got my skull split open for this company. We're past the belt. We're past that. Okay? If you cheer for me, great. If you don't, piss off. I'm that bitch. Do it.
There, pull that there you go.
Trigger.
And, you know, speaking of next week, like you said, we're going to be witnessing the public execution of B-Fab at the hands of Jade Cargill. We're also going to see the Yeet Man himself, main event Jey Uso versus The Miz.
On the blue brand?
Yeah, on the blue brand, bro. You said it earlier. There is, there's no roster split anymore. And then elsewhere, you've got the aforementioned mystery opponent of L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
A lot of people are assuming that it's going to be Edge or that it's going to be Chris Jericho or whatever the situation is. But everybody's overlooking one minor thing.
Say his name and
exactly.
He appears. I believe in Joe Hendry.
And, you know, the thing is that that's pretty funny with that is that's why he didn't want to say his name, because he didn't want to have Joe Hendry pop out of that fucking tumbler, you know, because that's what would have had to have happened. So.
Jericho, you have to spring that later, but Jericho is also dropping a billion hints because he's a ham, and he's been dropping Jericho, a billion yes. pictures of him all shredded in the gym.
Yeah. He's absolutely yoked, man. We'll get to Mr. Jericho in a bit. But I find it funny that WWE is running a tournament with no bracket. That's all I'm going to say on this. They've not released a tournament bracket for this. You know, last time is now John Cena Invitational, but
because they're springing people on you, that's why.
Of course. But that's been WWE programming for the last week. Let's actually pivot, and we're going to talk about the other professional wrestling promotion in the United States. Obviously, TNA. TNA is a number three. But if you're looking for number two, AEW is going to be that more hardcore need for you. And the reason why I framed everything the way that I did is Collision was a very good show if you liked pro wrestling and if you liked furthering storylines. If you liked soap opera, if you liked a lot of over-the-top sports entertainment, Absolutely not. But you know, it was a solid show. The thing is, John Moxley continues his descent. He loses another match, this time, albeit a countout, to Roderick Strong, thus losing the man advantage in the upcoming Blood and Guts match this coming Wednesday. We'll see. But, you know, elsewhere on the show, we had Sky Blue and Jamie Hayter. Obviously, surprise, surprise, Jamie Hayter picks up the win. And then in what was a pretty dumb move in retrospect, you have Tekla pinning Harley Cameron. After Wednesday, you give Harley Cameron the biggest victory that she's ever had, pinning Athena on Dynamite in the women's tag team title tournament, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But come on, man. Like, I really want the booking to be good, man. I really want the booking to be good, but I can't defend it when you take all the steam right out of somebody's sails immediately after pushing them and giving them the biggest win of their career.
Tekla is basically the female version of the Bastard Pack. And she comes out there. She cannot lose to Harley Cameron. So why would you put Harley Cameron in a position where she's forced to lose? She should not be there.
I agree.
She should not have been in that match to begin with. As soon as you see it, you're like, oh, wow, here's the pretty little sunshine girl and psychopath doing the crab walk. What do you think's going to happen? She should not have been in that position. It is poor booking. And again, what has she been used for but comic relief through and through, and she improves as a wrestler. So if you're never going to give her a belt, she's basically Danhausen. She is there's comic relief, but I mean, they can wrestle these people. They can.
Absolutely.
And if you know what, if you have a tag team down the line with her and Willow Nightingale, that's fine. But I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't know what to do with this person. She deserves a belt. She deserves to have like the TBS belt, or the TBS.
TBS, yeah.
Yeah. Give her the TBS belt, make it pink, make her like stupid sunshiny, have her come out there and do guitar shows, have her really milk it. Make her Joe Hendry. Make her AEW's Joe Hendry. Anytime somebody needs to be cheered up, she walks out there. In the same way that you have Timeless Toni Storm, who shows up on cue, that's what you've been doing with Harley Cameron, but then you needed her to be a luchador valet for a week, and you put her in a luchador mask. You needed her to be a puppet master. Fine. I'm invested, but that's only going to go so far if I know you're going to squash her on a drop of a dime. Do something useful with her.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And, you know, speaking of useful, there were a couple things that were not on this lineup that were definitely on this show. You also had the Bang Bang Gang against FTR in a very solid match. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, shall we? Let's talk about the other match on this show, which was, of course, Ty J versus Hyann and Maya World, but it was supposed to be Nixon Newell and Miranda Alizé. So in case you haven't heard anything about this, Miranda Alizé and Nixon Newell, at first it was reported by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful that they refused to lose on Collision, which that went all over the internet. Everybody went crazy with that. Even Joey Janela posted something in reply to that. Layla Gray backed him up, and Deonna Purrazzo backed them up. then further stuff came out, and it turns out that it wasn't even so much about them losing as it was them only getting 3 minutes of time, and they chose to leave the show and give the opportunity to Hyann and Maya World. And then so I put another tweet on the screen, but people, you know, such as Kyle Fletcher, Taya Valkyrie, Queen Aminata, and the Outrunners all spoke out about the lack of professionalism displayed by Nixon Newell and Miranda Alizé as they went to the building and they found out they were getting 3 minutes, losing to TyJ, putting them over, and said, "That doesn't work for us, brother," and got the hell out of there.
Made them Hogan. Here's the thing. What are their names now?
Nixon Newell, used to be Tegan Knox in WWE.
Right, right.
And Miranda Alizé, who she's been strictly on the indies.
Okay, here's my thing.
Yeah.
You are now, one of you is getting a promotion and one of you is getting a demotion, technically. Shut the fuck up. Take the damn time.
Absolutely.
Be glad, okay? The fact that you are not willing to do your 3 minutes means that you really do consider yourselves fucking indie talent. Because, I'd be happy. To me, AEW is the National League. And the National League has the Mets. And the American League, WWE, has the Yankees. Now, we all know what that means, kids. And that's the thing. You're still on a good show. You're still on a good show. And for the other, you're getting promoted, Miss Alizé, with your freaking street trash name that you could have made up in 3 seconds. So, the tag team of Moet Chandon, no! With your porn star names. Look. Stripper number one, stripper number two. You are not that important. You could be. You could be. For your 3 minutes, you could have done a wonderful spot. Everyone would have liked it. You could have cut a promo in the back saying blah, blah, blah. Hell, maybe they would have brought back Elevation for you or Dark. Fuck you. Next.
Damn. You know, I completely agree, man. I'm not going to lie. I completely agree with you on that. And now this comes on the heels of last week when Newell and Alizé wrestled against Marina Shafir and Megan Bain. A lot of people, some people backstage at AEW, voiced their surprise that they were invited back after their performance against Shafir and Bain. Allegedly, they sandbagged a double German suplex, the image I have on the screen here, right before it happened. And evidently they were not happy with the degree that Megan Bain was selling for them. So yeah, they go and Brian Danielson actually informs them, that they didn't get the reaction that they assumed that they would have gotten. And that's why when they came back this week, a lot of people were surprised that we're backstage. They did themselves no favors. Obviously, you can chalk it up to whatever you will. Miranda Alizé posted something to her Instagram account saying, "The moment you start standing up for yourself, everything shifts. Suddenly, you're the problem, not because you've changed, but because you're no longer letting them take advantage of you. They'll paint you as the villain, but that's okay because you're finally choosing yourself. This is where your freedom begins." And to that, I can say, yeah, your freedom does begin there because you're not going to be booked anywhere for the foreseeable future because this is unfucking professional.
Now, this is a difference between what happened to you. So now this is what I was annoyed with years ago on the opposite end when you had Naomi and the bank statement. My God, Mercedes Moné, it's been so long, I forgot her OG name.
Sasha Banks.
And they were tired of being used as enhancement talent. They were strap holders. They had the women's belt, and they were being used to put over other matches, and they decided not to show up. And Michael Cole went on there and said how unprofessional they were. And I was angry that he did that because I felt they were not wrong. The reality was they earned the ability to complain. They earned it. They worked their asses off. They earned the why are you giving them? And back then, those women belts were not utilized. Those women belts were a joke. You were put in the back. Now they're the women's tag team in WWE is like, hello, this means something. The men's tag team doesn't mean shit.
No shit.
The women's tag belts are like, oh my God. Today we saw Dragon Lee and AJ Styles, and he said, what's your tag name? He goes, well, we don't know, man. We don't freaking have a name. This means nothing. And then you've got the Wyatt Six, and they're not doing shit with them.
No.
They look around in the shadows, crawling around like Spider-Man. What are you doing? Dexter Lumis is crawling around like Spider-Man. Who gives a Nikki Cross has got a she's got a weirder mask, you know? It's like they went to Spirit Halloween and they got dressed up at the last second. They look stupid and they're not doing anything with those belts. Put those fucking belts on my family tree already. My family tree is out and about in the trenches every day. Put it on two of them. Give it to the smaller Tongans. Okay?
Nice. Yeah, man. Definitely.
Give Hikuleo a belt. I'm going to call him Hikuleo. I don't know what to call him. I know he's Tala Tonga. I even
think Tala Tonga.
It makes sense, Tala Tonga. Don't get me wrong. That name made sense. That's what he should have been called in the first place. But I see him and I think, that's Hikuleo.
Yeah.
That's a Bullet Club. That's three Bullet Club members. Was Jeff Cobb in the Bullet Club?
Actually, no. Surprisingly enough.
No. Okay, oh. You've got three Bullet. You know how many Bullet Club members are in freaking WWE? Jesus Christ!
Yeah, dude, you've got a whole faction in WWE that's not a faction. It's pretty crazy, man.
I would. Oh my God! Imagine what if they all just walked into the ring one day. Cody Rhodes walks in. AJ Styles walks in. And then they all come in there, and then they put the guns up. My head would explode. Forget Nia Jax. I'd be done. I'd be a hermaphrodite. My dick would explode if I saw that. It's on the Bullet Club. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait. Is that Kenny Omega? Oh, I had a seizure. Oh, God. I had a seizure. Jeez. The Young Bucks. Wait, it's the Young Bucks. No.
Speaking of the Young Bucks, let's talk about AEW Dynamite.
Oh, the Young Cucks.
The Young Cucks.
Oh.
Yeah, man. So honestly, Dynamite was pretty fucking fire this week, dude.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, definite thumbs up. You know, we found out who was going to have the advantages in the Blood and Guts match. We saw a really solid women's tag team match too, dude. Mercedes Moné and Athena versus Willow and Harley Cameron. Yeah, dude, this was an absolutely solid, solid match. But before that, we got to talk about this too. We got to talk about it. So let's just get into it.
Perfect picture. Yeah, a befuddled, disgruntled, wearing an oversized suit. Tony Schiavone. With those neon glasses, neon Nike glasses that he's got on, and the oversized AEW jacket, which Alex Marvez and him were the only ones wearing that jacket, and Marvez is gone. So
he's gone.
So I don't know why he's the only one wearing the jacket. Like, that's his way of saying, please don't fire me.
Yeah, basically.
Look, guys, I'm wearing the jacket. I don't want to go back to baristing. Oh, geez, I don't want to be a barista. This is a hell of a company.
Man, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But the fact is, man, we didn't need another fucking title. We did not need another title. And as I think the thing that really is the most frustrating thing for me is the national championship. We're not talking about, you know, college football or college basketball. Yeah, it's the national championship. Okay. So the name tripped up everybody that tried to talk to mention it on that show. We had a mention of the international championship. We had mentions of all sorts of other things, people tripping over the name. This is just going to be a nightmare.
Why did you just have the national champion, and what did they combine it to make the international
champion? I was about ready to go into that. So the international championship is what the national championship is supposed to be. So the international championship, which started off as the All-Atlantic Championship. Initially, that was the title that was launched during the pandemic that was designed to be defended in different promotions. Essentially, put it on a guy, let him run and, you know, do matches. Keep in mind, this was right after the pandemic, so people were dealing with travel issues, and this was a way to, you know, get certain people on TV. There was one very particular reason that Pac was the first All-Atlantic champion, because he went and took that title to all of the promotions in the UK. So I thought, great, this is going to be a really cool kind of a style for the championship, right? And then it devolved and, you know, lost a lot of notoriety. It became an afterthought. Then it got combined with the Continental Championship, which was the title that they introduced and gave to the winner of the Continental Classic Tournament. So you have a title belt that has a specific set of rules merging with a, let's be real, a as much of a work rate championship as you could get in a work rate promotion. So yeah, it lost its identity. So now you basically are telling everybody that you're never going to split the unified championship again, which if that's the case, you need to come up with a better fucking name for that secondary championship. But realistically, the AEW National Championship will be defended in independent promotions and satellite promotions all around the world. So essentially, it's going to be the traveling title. So you could put it on somebody that you're not going to expect to have on TV every single week. They can run matches in other promotions throughout the world and then show video packages of those matches, or maybe those full matches during a Dynamite or a Collision. I'm 100% on board with this if they actually make it work. But the problem is that they are tying the lineage back to the NWA National Championship, which was a championship that, there already is an NWA National Champion. This is a current championship belt. You cannot steal the title lineage of an existing championship belt and claim it as your own.
Is Mike Mondo.
I don't get it, though, legitimately. And I have the tweet posted on the screen. Let me be clear. There's only one NWA, and there is only one prestigious national championship that holds legit lineage and has for decades. So to Tony Khan or anyone else confused, here's the legit title with the company it belongs to and the legit national champion. My name is Mike Mondo. So, oh, my God, man. I have a real problem addressing a need that they didn't have.
And Shivani's like looks exasperated trying to get this out. Here's the thing, and I'll take it real quick. Shivani and Michael Cole are put out there to go step on landmines every time for their respective companies. I feel bad because this makes no sense.
What's that?
I said it makes no sense. You used to be going longer.
Yeah, I'm used to you fucking going on rants for like 10 minutes on shit.
I apologize. I you know what? I get fucking passionate about some of this shit because I look at it not as a guy, you know, in the ring, but I look at it here going, hey, this makes no sense. You know, fuck you. It makes no sense. Make it make sense.
Absolutely, man. And, friend of the show, Brian Idol, who is a wrestler and a champion in the National Wrestling Alliance, took some shots at Tony Khan, saying that this was beneath him, and to stick what made you famous, you know, small, weird hands in the pockets wrestlers and other local VFW guys that you put in main events. Stop being petty, bro. I don't know if this really helps the discourse and everything. Obviously, he's getting press from it, so, you know, good on him. And let's be real. He definitely can say whatever he fucking would please to say. He definitely has that right. He definitely has that platform. But, you know, it as Kevin Blackwood said in a reply, totally unnecessary shots at OC, Orange Cassidy, of course, a documented good dude. And then he goes on to fire a shot at Billy Corgan to defend the legacy of a company owned by the singer of Smashing Pumpkins. So, I mean, again, back and forth, back and forth. Realistically, does it help anybody? I would argue no, it really, really, truly does not. But what does help people, let's talk about this women's tag team title tournament, because we did have a massive upset on Dynamite. Harley Cameron, as we mentioned earlier, picks up the victory, pinning Athena. So Willow and Harley, the Babes of Wrath, as they're calling themselves, I guess that, hey, man, hey, they've got matching gear. They got a tag team name. That's better than the WWE Men's World Tag Team Champions.
Let's not.
Hey, let's be real.
You can't get everything.
You can't have everything. But, so we're going to see how things shake out, because we've got the Sisters of Sin, Julia Hart and Sky Blue, going against Willow and Harley. And then we've got that other side of the bracket, you know, Alex Windsor and Riho versus Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa, and Megan Bain and Marina Shafir. God, that duo is scary, against Ty J. So, yeah, man, a lot of people assumed that the women's tag titles were automatically going to Mercedes and Athena, and that was definitely not the case.
I noticed one thing about this bracket. They're very particular about who they use a tag name for. In other words, Willow and Harley are the Babes of Wrath, but they're not called Babes of Wrath in there. They're called Willow and Harley. Bane and Shafir didn't have a name. Toni and Mina did have a name. They didn't use that. They could have done that. I found that interesting that they're selective. It's almost like they're burying the lead as to who's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy, man. But, dude, next week, bro, it's fucking blood and guts. And we got two crazy matches, one cage, two rings, three words, blood and guts. One side for the women, you got Mercedes Moné, Megan Bain, Marina Shafir, and the Triangle of Madness, taking on AEW Women's World Champion Chris Statlander, Timeless Toni Storm, Willow Nightingale, Mina Shirakawa replacing Queen Aminata, who's out with injury, Jamie Hayter, and Harley Cameron. What do you think, man? You think that this match is going to be pretty decent or what?
Who is the Bailey of that group? When they did the cage match and they had Bailey, you could see Bailey calling spots, and she was keeping people safe. The only veteran, I don't know who the Bailey is. I don't know who that mother, that protective person there.
You could have, I mean, Toni Storm. Toni Storm, I could easily see being the Bailey of it. Also, I think that somebody else that, for lack of, you know, everybody loves to shit on her, but
Mercedes.
I think Mercedes could quarterback on the other side as well. You know, I don't understand a lot of this discourse. Why everybody says, "Oh, Mercedes sucks. She's killing women's wrestling." I get the.
That's our co-host.
I get, well, that too, but I get the slam of, you know, 12 belts, 13 belts, diminishing returns. I understand that, but to, you know, just completely disqualify her and act like as if she's not a great women's wrestler is a blatant falsehood, and is a travesty that it's even in the conversation.
She is a good wrestler. The problem is, if you're going to have 12 belts, you have to have an amazing persona. You have to be literally Cody Rhodes post WrestleMania 40 energy for running around for 12 fucking belts. And you're not over with the fans anymore. You were not, she fell out with the fans pretty quickly. When CEO hit, everyone was cheering for her. And then when she started talking, you were like, nah, she's flat. She's flat. And she's just not over with the fans. She didn't connect. She went the heel route, but she's not even an obnoxious heel. I mean, think about it. Think of an obnoxious heel right now who's actually a really good heel, is growing on me, is Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is a good heel. Okay, Becky Lynch cut a good promo today. She gave a good right hook to Maxine Dupri and then stormed off. Asuka is a good heel right now. And Asuka's been given a temporary reward with the belt as part of the Kabuki Warriors. And she came out with a good persona. Mercedes Moné's persona is, I'm a rich bitch. And that's boring. It's boring. It doesn't sell it for me. If she would have came out in her Star Wars gear, and she's probably not allowed to do that, but if she would have came out in the Star Wars gear and said, I'm Hollywood, bitch, something to that effect, maybe if she would have, like, just milk it. She's actually what Toni Storm is claiming to be. Toni Storm did a movie. Oh, no, Toni Storm was in that movie. I don't know. Do something. Tie into something that reminds us is why you are this famous. I don't know. It's just something that's not connecting all the way. And they dropped the Okada. Remember when Kazuchika Okada was licking his chops for her nonstop and they were intimating that she was going to be in the Elite? They were kind of teasing that she's in the Elite. And then they dropped it.
Out of nowhere.
There's a lot of meat on the bone at AEW, and they set stuff up and they don't grow it. And they did not grow Mercedes Moné. They gave her a bunch of belts, and I don't care.
The follow-up is, yeah, that you may get the initial moment, but it's the follow-up after that moment where they unfortunately tend to drop the ball. And I say that as an AEW fan, man. I can definitely say that and put that out there. So
also, but the idea that she's got all these guys carrying her belts, she used to walk around with them herself. Seems like she doesn't care as much.
There you go. Moving on, the other Blood and Guts match, you've got the Death Riders taking on Darby Allin, Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. You know, it's pretty interesting because you have to figure there's a reason why they got Moxley losing all the time. The guy's lost virtually every match he's been in since he lost that AEW World Championship. This week on Collision, losing via countout to Roderick Strong. So I think that are we starting to see maybe the usurping of Jon Moxley as leader of the Death Riders? It wouldn't surprise me if something happens during this match where Moxley loses control of the group. It would not surprise me in the slightest. And in fact, fuck it, since we're since we're talking about next week. All right, so over under for this week. Keep in mind, AEW Dynamite this week is Blood and Guts. It is 2.5 hours, so they did get the additional 30 minutes. So keep that in mind. Realistically, something that you guys got to figure, they only have three things announced on this show, and those being the Blood and Guts matches. And then out of nowhere, we had a Hangman Page versus Powerhouse Hobbs Falls Count Anywhere match announced in the death spot, because I could easily see them getting the show started with the women's Blood and Guts match, then them running the Falls Count Anywhere match after that to kind of clean up and get the ring ready, rings ready, I should say. But my over-under this week, albeit if there's only three matches on the show and it's a 2.5 hour show itself, bro, The Blood and Guts matches are each going to go over 30 minutes apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not surprise me if one of them went an hour. So if we're taking the prop bets on that, yeah, look for a 60-minute match, possibly for the men. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the women could go for 60, but I could easily see the women going 30-plus. Yeah, man, Blood and Guts should be interesting, and we've got more future stuff announced. We don't really cover New Japan, but in an announcement that was pretty well received, because this is his first time appearing for New Japan Pro Wrestling, Kazuchika Okada came out and confronted Hiroshi Tanahashi after his match this past Saturday night. So now we now know who the final opponent in the career of Tanahashi will be. It'll be his greatest opponent in Kazuchika Okada. So ironically, though, he did not have his AEW Unified Championship belt with him. So it'll be interesting to see. And it plays in a little bit with storyline, because you know who the IWGP World Champion is right now, don't you, Rob?
Yeah, and that would be Takeshita, or as Matt would say, Takeshita.
Takeshita, and are we going to get Okada little brothering Takeshita in the match order, because you wait and see. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Okada are going on last. The IWGP World Championship will not be defended last at New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest show of the year. And that, my friend, is a multi-layered plot point for the storyline between Okada and Takeshita.
It would also be funny if Takeshita fucks over Okada, so Tanahashi leaves that on top.
Bingo. Bingo. You and I are on the same fucking page, my friend.
And, it writes itself.
Absolutely. Speaking of being on the same page, let's talk some numbers. All right, let's talk some good numbers. TKO announced a quarterly revenue of $1.12 billion, which doesn't sound great because it's down 27% from the second quarter. But here's the thing. UFC revenue was down by 8% to $325.2 million. Get this, dude. WWE revenue actually outgained UFC revenue 402 to 325. WWE making more money than the UFC. That's pretty strong, man.
You know, WWE always finds a way to survive and grow, and they're becoming a legitimate sport now. They're starting to be viewed as a legitimate sport in my assertion. When you incorporate them into TKO and you incorporate them into ESPN, in the matter of which they're doing, you're legitimizing them as a sport. And to all the people who say this is fake, this is garbage, this is whatever, I always said, well, boxing is fake. You always rig the outcomes in boxing well before. You always set up matches where you know fairly certain who's going to win. And I would always use the example of Mike Tyson versus McNeely. If you remember back in the 90s, Mike Tyson's, come on, let's be fucking real here, okay? Especially on a sport, and I'll use boxing again, which is based on points. Points. When you talk about the Astros cheating to win the World Series, now pitchers have earpieces in to do the calls, instead of before the catcher had tape on his fingers or nail polish because of cheating. Did anyone have to give those rings back? No. So now you have a sport in this, a stronger case that this is a true sport. It's entertaining, and that's what sports are supposed to be. I'm not watching football thinking I'm a fucking rushing yard. I'm fucking realistic. I realize I'm not a center field in baseball. I'm not Mike Judge, but I'm going to go buy his jerseys. I'm going to go buy WWE ring gear. Oh, well, I should buy his jersey. I should buy his jersey. I meant,
dude, sign me up for Mike Judge jersey too.
Right. Aaron Judge. Oh, fuck me. Beavis and Butthead. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that. Oh, man.
I figured I'd let you run with it.
99, and I didn't Google that. You didn't hear any clicking, you fucks. You heard no clicking. I just scarred. No, but that's my point. Aaron Judge. Here's the thing. It's a sport. It's a sport. It's being recognized by sports programming, and it's got the numbers to back it up now. Where it goes from here is only limited by what basically, in my assertion, what Hunter could come up with. Agreed?
Yeah.
You've got good writing over there. There's things they need to fix. Things are getting stale. Other things are getting great. The women are exciting, except they're all heels now. Because you've got the Bella, you know, she's a heel today. Hey, she's a heel. Hey. But it's pretty dang exciting right now. AEW is part of that, grouping, and they need to figure something out to get to that next level or stay where they're at. But they can't do these 50,000 place, 90,000 place arenas half full, you know, trying to, you know, wave the camera around all, you know, herky jerky. Can't do that. You gotta like step up or stay in your lane. Figure that out. You're either B team or you need to fix this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, the thing that really stands out as far as the business that we're seeing is obviously it was just announced that WrestleMania in Vegas for 2026, the city of Las Vegas is only paying TKO $6 million for the licensing.
That's not
now, so keep this in mind. Last year for 2025, this year for 2025, WrestleMania in Vegas, to get that event, the city of Las Vegas had to pony up $5 million. Immediately after the show, while the show is going on, they announce, hey, we're going to New Orleans, blah, blah, blah. And then you start to see things fall apart with New Orleans. And then all of a sudden, Vegas takes it from New Orleans. I assumed that they were going to get like 10, 15 million just based off of the fact that they literally took the event from another city. So for them only to get an additional $1 million, I don't know. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a fly on the wall there, but if the numbers are to be believed, then something just doesn't add up.
I'd like to thank Joe DeFalco right now. Because every time we go into Future Stars of Wrestling, they go, oh, Vegas Bad Boys, get over here. Get over here. No. Now, I don't know if you notice, but at the end of our program, a certain Mr. Jonathan Cena kind of does an outro for us. And one of your favorites, Meltzer, is wearing our gear. With that said, I happened to enjoy my time at the Modelo Suite, the Modelo Lounge, I should say. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting, including our good friend DJ, who had to sell himself into sexual hijinks in order to pay for his ringside seats, didn't see his wife that entire weekend. He left her on Hacienda to fend for herself, walking over that dangerous bridge while he took, driving range lessons with the Miz. I think that it would behoove you to provide us with 4 tickets gratis. And, Matt Michaels, Matt Michaels got himself body sculpted for this. You know, Matt Michaels is going to look cut.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
You know, he won't even need a filter. That's how good he looks. No filters needed with him. He's going to be amazing. Sin City Steve is a wealth of knowledge of wrestling and baseball, as has been shown earlier by my calling Aaron Judge Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead. And you know what? We'll get Simon. Where's Simon Street? Get him too. It's five tickets. You could do that. You could do that.
Absolutely.
You can absolutely. And by the way, Mr. Tony Khan, there's a lot of places in Vegas where you could go skiing. And I know people who can let you ride the slopes. Real good stuff. Okay. So when you have, you know, All In, Double or Nothing, any of them, you know. You know, we're not asking for like a night alone with Tony Storm. You know, we're classy people. You know, we'll settle for Queen Amanada. That's okay. I even think that's a high bar, but I think you can make it happen. Or maybe you empty out the Ring of Honor locker room for us. You know.
Hey, there you go. All right. Sorry. Man. So now, hey, you know what it. The business stuff is really fascinating to me, because for so long, you know, it was WWE's on this crazy high. These numbers are reporting it, yet, you know, TV numbers, we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But, you know, they're turning over profits. They're doing great business. And, you know, that leads me to believe that, you know, if there's anybody in the professional wrestling world that can talk about great business, I think I know a guy. I might know a guy.
You know, I want to say something very personal, dear to me. This weekend, I went to a Commanders game. Such disrespectful people. You know, I'm trying to get their team renamed the Washington Redskins, and this is the thanks I get. These people were very terrible fans, very lousy fans. And you know what? I was ready to have ice there. We couldn't deploy as many ice people as they wanted. But I was thinking to myself, gee, a lot of these guys, they tell me their skins are red. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. And then we have the WWE. These are great people. They made me an honorary world heavyweight, undisputed, international, unified champion. And I'm quite honestly one of the best champions, the greatest champion, their biggest champion. I had the greatest draw at the Silver Dome Super Bowl Arena back in 1985 for WrestleMania 5. WrestleMania 5, 1985. That works, okay? I'm the best champion since Mike Judge. And these people knew a partnership when they saw one. They read the art of the deal. Vince McMahon was very good to me. And now I think TKO is going to be very good to me. We're going to have the final match of WrestleMania 42 at the top of Trump Tower. It's going to be a live circuit feed. And it is going to be me and Maxine Dupree in a chicken gravy match, turkey and giblets and gravy in a kiddie pool. It is going to be wrestling like never before seen. And this is going to bring TKO an additional $500 million quarterly. In fact, some people are even saying it's going to be $1 billion. Think about that. Billions and billions and billions of dollars to see Donald Trump wrestle in what will be one of the greatest World Wrestling Confederated Entertainment matches, unlike any World Wrestling Super Federation Entertainment Worldwide match.
I don't know what happened there.
Excuse me, you interrupted me with a black guy. I don't think so. We're going to be taking this all the way to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and we're going to call it Donald Trump season. Now you can bring the black guy. And oh, I don't have fuzzy mercy slippers. I have golden fuzzy slippers. Bitch.
Wow. Wait, what was that? No, we're not doing
that. No. By the way, Daryl is very, very perturbed by those videos.
And, you know, hey, I do my best to, you know, steer clear of those. But when we have a mention, I just figure, you know, fuck it.
We'll I spoke to him yesterday. He goes, what the fuck is going on with Matt Michaels and the motherfucking videos about me and wearing cowboy boots and fuzzy slippers? A fucking wrestling show. And he's playing. DJ Impact's high.
It's like Joe Hendry. You know, you say his name and it appears. You reference those videos and they appear.
Right. So. I'll stop.
Anyway, fuck it. Let's take a dump. All right. So, you know, I threw up the graphic with the business stuff earlier. This is not an AEW screenshot, by the way. This is this week's SmackDown drawing its lowest attendance in almost 4 years with only 4,200 fans in attendance.
Oh my.
Do we start to sound the alarm? Because perception is everything, and the streets are calling WWE in 2025 the Ruthless Depression Era. As SmackDown,
how did they even do that? What did they do? CGI in the CGI is getting old to say that AI in all the fans.
Exactly. Yeah, man. It's pretty crazy.
Damn.
Until my thing is, if they're still hitting their numbers and they're drawing fewer fans, but the bottom line is the same. I mean, they're not going to change their business practices. I do find it telling that the John Cena final match is not sold out yet.
Oh, wow. You know,
I think that's telling. It will sell out before the event itself. But as of right now, on the 10th of November, 2025, that card is not sold out yet.
Can people afford to go to these shows right now? Because ticket bastards are not going to make it cheaper. And look, people's money is stretched thin. You're going into Christmas season. People are complaining about the economy. Don't want to go in that direction. We're going to leave it at that. But I know I don't have money to piss away on that. And you're not making the tickets more affordable. So I referenced Yankee Stadium earlier. When they made the new stadium, everything behind home plate was vacant.
Yeah.
It was vacant.
It's crazy, man. But what do you do? What do you do?
Lower your ticket prices.
Yeah, I know. So fan of the show, Brian Cage, posted this to his IG. He busted his ass, and he's done everything imaginable to come back quick and healthy as possible. That being said, I have some news. News that nobody would want to hear. There's an issue on the operation I had on my right knee. I was fighting an uphill battle that no amount of therapy, modalities, stem cells, peptides, etc. were going to fix. I have to go back under the knife for them to try to fix or correct the situation. He goes on to say that he's upset and depressed. And yeah, man, it's dude, it's a tough break for Brian Cage, one of the great guys in the business. And as I did say, friend of the show. Brian is always very cordial, and always, you know, has a smile on his face whenever you run into him. Always willing to say hello. Truly one of the good guys, and it just sucks.
We've seen him, you know, after a lot of TNA shows and a few, FSW too. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there is. Fuck the old term breaking kayfabe. When you see these guys just like chopping it up behind the scenes, somebody brought their baby and the guys were passing the baby around. And it was just like, this is awesome. This is a brotherhood and this is a family. And there's a warmth to it all. And I absolutely love it. I love it. You know, if you're going to an FSW show, and you see behind the scenes, the guys just, you know, changing in and out of gear, man. And they're just talking like, this is fucking great. This is amazing. I absolutely love the really, I'm going to say, family values that wrestling has in these scenes. I want this guy to be well. I want this guy to succeed. I want him to you know, get his roses. He deserves it.
Absolutely. He absolutely does, man. It's really sad that, you know, he's had so many setbacks. And, you know, you just keep on plugging away, man. And everything will end up working itself out. I have no doubt in my mind on that. Speaking of the Ridge Holland situation earlier in the show, Ridge posted this to his ex account. I never thought I'd not be able to pay my mortgage. I feel like I've just been hung out to dry after getting injured working for another company on behalf of WWE. Add to that my contract not being renewed, knowing that I wouldn't be able to wrestle for 7 months. This is brutal. Yes, they're taking care of the surgery and physical therapy, but let's be honest, that's the bare minimum after what we sacrificed for the company. Plus, the possibility of having to get my neck fused too. Talk about getting totally fucked. Oh man, rough stuff. But that prompted WWE to, not just not renew his contract, but actually fire him early. So,
here's the thing. If the guy's over, they go to town for him. If the guy's not over, he's dead weight. That's the reality of any business. And now you're going to go on social media and complain. He is going to show up at TNA and fight his way back up and reinvent himself, or he will show up at AEW as Luke, end up on the Don Callis family. I'm not trying to be facetious or smug. He'll show up at some faction over there, get lost in the shuffle. He never really resonated with fans. He was always a sidekick. It sucks. He was a sidekick to Sheamus and Butch. He was Irish guy number three. Fucking A. They used him like a workhorse where they could. And then you get to go, oh, here's an honorary WWE guy showing up at your hometown. Isn't that awesome? Hey, he used to work with Sheamus. It's like, cool. Is it fucked up to say it like that? Would that have happened to Sheamus? No. They would have gone out of their way for him because he is a household name in the WWE amongst WWE wrestling fans. Everybody knows who Sheamus is. Not everybody knows who Ridge Holland is.
Exactly.
And that's the reality of it. He will. I don't know how much you're going to get paid to be a B player on WWE versus a B player on any other promotion. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what kind of house he got that it's that tight. Because I know, like, if you watch Maven talk about how much your paychecks in WWE really go, they don't go that far. You spend a lot of money just traveling and training. And unless you're willing to, bunk up with other people, your money's going to evaporate quickly. It's like being a truck driver. If anyone's ever done that, you don't get that much money. You make $120,000, you spend $100 on your vehicle. So that's the idea with wrestling. You spend a lot of it just in the process of traveling. I feel bad for the guy. Don't want anyone not to succeed in the business. We've seen a lot of burnouts end up here in Vegas.
Yeah.
I saw, am I saying something? I saw Austin Aries at an open mic that I was at, and he said it. Be nice to the people you meet on the way up. You never know what you're going to see on the way down. Last year I was hosting WrestleMania, and now I'm at Dive Bar. He said that.
Yeah.
I'm not putting but do I think the guy has a good spirit about it all? Succeed. Go to AEW, go to TNA, show up in 3 months, take the surgery that they're going to give you and reinvent yourself.
Absolutely, man. And, speaking of surgery, reinventing and healing and getting back upright, we got some very encouraging info and images from Kevin Owens, who is back training. So he should be back very, very soon. So some encouraging stuff there. Coming back from injury is always a good thing.
Please be a face.
Oh, dude. With the departure of John Cena, yeah, they got to have babyface Kevin Owens.
Please be a face. Yeah. Oh, please don't be an obnoxious heel. Please be a babyface and win something.
Oh, yeah, man. And, you know, as we start to wrap up, speaking of baby faces that everybody loves, NXT's Thea Hale, going to a festival and living her best life. Props to her for doing that and looking fan-fucking-tastic while she's doing it.
I'm thinking of gravy and olive oil and other marinades right now.
No shit, dude. We've got Liv Morgan out.
Go back to Thea Hale.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. There we go.
Yep. Sorry, Liv.
Yeah. I went for some deeper cuts this week. Kathy Kelly showing off a little bit of a spooky side, looking pretty hot for Halloween. And last but not least, you can't ever go wrong with Tiffany Stratton. Am I right? I'm right. I know. So, my God.
Actually, I want her without the makeup. She looks like a fucking inflatable blow-up doll with the makeup on.
Regardless, man, she is a fucking smoking hot either way. Rob, made it through another one, man. Made it through another one. Why don't you let the people know where they can see you, where they can interact with you, get a cameo, maybe go watch you do some comedy.
All right. So Wednesday evening, I will be at Ola Abibi, 1115 South Casino Center Boulevard, off of Charleston in the Arts District. And you can see me as one of the four horsemen of comedy with Lex Las Vegas, Khalil Mack. We have Mike Stiggs. We have J Dab, J Monet, and many other comics that you can see. I want to give a special happy birthday shout out to my man, Ray Love, another Vegas comedian. I was not able
happy
to
birthday,
make it.
Ray.
Yeah, we love Ray Love with his amazing laugh. And that is where you will see me this week.
Hell yes, man. Where can people follow you on social media?
Well, look at that. At Vegas Trump guy. And I want to thank a few people. I want to thank this show. I want to thank Lex Las Vegas and the Vegas Four Horsemen of Comedy for helping me, you know, get the people, you know, get me over that threshold so I could go back to going on live. I want to be able to show you guys the Vegas Bad Boys podcast on my Instagram. Once I figure out how to do that, I will be bringing that to you live. And you can see the Vegas Bad Boys podcast on Instagram.
Hell yes, man. Hell yes. And, you know, it's it really just goes without saying that Rob is he's kind of funny. I mean, he makes people laugh from time to time. But, follow him on social media. I definitely love more of the shorts content that you've been putting up lately. So keep that shit going. And also, I want to say a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we do what we love, to do. Also, very special thank you to all the people that hung out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com, PP. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%. I don't know why that hit up there, but
you put a PP and then you talked about PP and then you put a blood and guts and you showed a bunch of.
Hey, man, there you go. That's just that's how it goes sometimes. But you gotta love this. You gotta love the live radio. Yeah, because we're just going to go ahead and sign off. We're not going to be doing any of the sign off stuff tonight, unfortunately, just due to technical difficulties.
Okay.
But if you guys want to check back with us.
Oh, nine. White fuzzy slippers on the floor. <time. laughs> Did you get impact of pride? Why fuzzy slippers all night?
Did everybody have a good time tonight? Yeah. Blah blah blah. Well, all right, you guys. Thank you for hanging out. Happy wrestling.
All right, happy wrestling. Good night, guys.